Hello, everybody out there listening to my show on BBS Radio, Internet Radio, which stretches across the world. I don't know how many people exactly listen to my show or who listen to BBS Radio, because there's a lot of other great hosts, great shows, all beautiful people with esoteric subjects, you know. And I enjoy my show very much. It's 1 hour where I can talk, and what I say gets recorded and archived. That's pretty cool. And for public speaking, it's got some great value. You know, that's what I am, a public speaker. I'm a member of Toastmasters. I've mentioned this on previous shows before, and I used to go to, you know, but that was before COVID. Now we do our meetings via Zoom, and every Tuesday I get a chance to talk, you know, give speeches. But to have a show, a one-hour show, I suppose it's not the ultimate. The ultimate would be to be on television, to have one's own television show, and to talk for an hour. And maybe that's possible in the future. I'll see. But in the meantime, the next best thing is being on the radio. And I don't know how many people are listening, but even if there was just one, it still would be okay. Even none, you know, to hear myself talk, it's okay, you know. Of course, the more the better. I know my son might be out there listening. He might be tuning in at this very second, and if he is, or maybe he's going to join later, I say hello. A shout out to my son, Bryce, who lives in L.A., Burbank. And they're going through COVID there, you know. And he's got a job. He works at a private country club at the golf course. And he's by himself. He's hoping to live his dream, which is to become a famous actor. And I think he's got all the tools necessary. He has the looks, and he's 26 years old. He's very motivated, a very intelligent young man, does a lot of reading. And a shout out to him. I love him very much. He's my only child, my only son. I was blessed from heaven above to have him come into my life. And he's changed things in my life. I wouldn't be here today at this walk of life, living here, doing what I'm doing, still working and making good money, if it wasn't for him. I'm eternally grateful for him to come from heaven, and we all came from heaven. But he helped me out in so many ways, and he's a joy to talk with and to interact with, and I wish him the best. He's always in my prayers. I'll say a prayer for him all the time, you know, wishing him the best. I say a prayer for people, and I might have mentioned this before, when we end our conversation, sometimes, not all the time, but we say, and may God bless us, everyone, but he says it in such a way, it's hilarious. It's kind of like, and may God bless us, everyone. And that, my friends, is the ultimate prayer. When you can pray for everybody, believe it or not, if you have the courage to do it, if you are a brave enough soul, if you're usually the more advanced, older souls will do that. I just got a text message. He's listening. So that is, all right, Bryce, you're out there. Welcome. And may God bless us, everyone. That's true. Just like Tiny Tim said in the Christmas Carol, right? That was back. Charles Dickens wrote that book in the 1800s. And now, come on, more than ever, people out there listening, we have to pray for each other. You see the divisiveness going on. It's kind of exciting at the same time. And I hope you don't take it all too seriously, like with the politics, you know, all that's going on, because it could be kind of on a negative side, but you take it for what it is. And remember that we need to pray for each other. But we're going to get through this together, you know, the COVID, the politics, all the stuff that's happening, that's happened before, the wars, the killing, the unkindness. Then we need to pray for each other. Just a simple prayer, You know, may God bless us, everyone, going down the freeway. God, please bless us, everyone. I love you, God. You're so awesome. Man, just think we're on a planet that's being moved by some power that we're not really familiar with, don't know too much about, rotating on an axis 600 miles an hour, being revolved around this main sequence G2 white dwarf star that we call the sun, traveling hundreds of miles an hour. You know, we're keeping time, you know, with clocks and watches and stuff, but really, we're revolving around our sun, and we have a sunrise and a sunset thanks to the rotation on its axis. That power, that's an amazing power, isn't it? That works 24/7, every single second. It's working flawlessly, no mistakes, no glitches, none whatsoever, and has been doing that for millions of years. No mistakes, no glitches, none. Perfect. A power that's got our lives in its hands. A power that is almost incomprehensible. An amazing power. Call it gravity. Call it the creator. Call it what you will. Dark energy, dark matter has something to do with it. But every day is a gift, therefore, my friends. And we have to be grateful for our blessings. Gift. My son told me this. The gift of life. Now, that's a good subject for a book. The gift of life we have each and every day. We have to look at each other in a way as we walk down the street, pass somebody, or maybe drive by somebody in the car, walking through a mall, you know, with our masks on even. Looking at people on TV and just think, you know, some of those people on TV have already passed away. We are all temporary, living here, some for longer years, you know, more years, a longer time, and that is preferable in my opinion. I'd love to be a ripe old age before I pass away, because every day is an opportunity to learn and to grow and to develop ourselves spiritually, to evolve. Also to increase our intelligence and our intellect. And I'm going to read from one of my favorite books to you. It's about, and I've read it before, I've talked about it before, this man who I communicated with when I was in my last duty assignment in the Army in Caracas, Venezuela. Oh, what an assignment that was. That was incredible. 2.5 years there at the military group, on a Venezuelan army fort, Fuerte Tayuna. And we lived in a small building. You know, we worked in a small building there that was maintained by the army. They paid for the helpers there, the foreign nationals, they called them. And it was a great assignment. We were a pretty cohesive team. They even provided us with our own vehicles because they had some trouble there in the past, and so, you know, intergovernment trouble. When I was there, Chavez was the president, and he was a former lieutenant colonel. And the opposition, kind of like here in the United States, Republicans and Democrats, are about 50-50. And Chavez, every time he used to talk on TV, and I lived in a very nice apartment that the government, that the Army paid for. It was like $2,600 a month, you know, which is quite a lot, even back then in 2001 through 2004. Whenever he would come on TV, people would go outside on their balconies and bang pots and pans with steel spoons, you know. You'd hear him all down the valley. We lived in this valley. And there... And I'm not sure about now. I know that inflation has kind of run away, the currency devalued. But they were already pretty poor. In Venezuela, when I was there, there was two main classes of people. Those that had a lot of money and those who didn't, you know. And there really wasn't a middle class. Not much one, anyway. And So I was going to talk about this book I'm going to read from. That's what I was getting to. And excuse me, please, if I stray off the subject. You know, I write down not all the time, but I do write down subjects to talk about. But, you know, within an hour, you have an hour to talk. I tend to jump from one subject to the other, which, you know, sometimes might be hard to follow. Now, in a Toastmasters speech, 5 to 7 minutes, typically, you've got one subject to talk about and very little deviance from that subject, you know, and you have different talking points, an opening and a body and a conclusion, but otherwise you stay pretty much on track. But with so much to talk about in an hour, and when the mind goes blank or you want to talk about something, then you just go off into a different subject, you know. So thank you for your patience. If you like listening to my show, then I guess you appreciate the good things I talk about. And if it sounds like I do change subject a lot, then, you know, that's part of listening to me, I guess, and liking me. And I hope it's not that bad. One of the subjects that I do talk about is extraterrestrials. And I was watching Ancient Aliens last night on television. That's one of my favorite shows. They always have some good information. I just wish it could be a little bit better, you know, because I feel, and I think, I don't have any way to prove this, but I'm an old soul. So I'm a well-traveled soul. I'm on a soul journey that's probably longer than other people's. Maybe other people's are longer than mine. Maybe there are people out there that have lived more past lives than I have, you know, because I'm a firm believer in that. That's part of my reality system, based on what I've learned, books that I've read, research I've done. After this life, there is the life in the spirit lands, otherwise known as heaven, where we spend some time there and kind of like a party, if you will, a welcome back home, because that's where we came from before we were born on Earth. And we get to mingle with all the souls that are there. And the spirit apparently resembles the human body very similarly in characteristics. You know, so you look the same, it is that the spirit body functions in a different realm, first of all, and second of all, it has different characteristics, you know. I mean, it can fly, it can move by thought, you know, or it can move conventionally in the conventional mode. And so then we spend some time there. We meet all the people who have lived on Earth from all different cultures throughout the centuries, and we celebrate with them. We praise the Creator for our existence, for the miracles of all creation, the creation of the universe. We praise the Creator for the magic of who she is, creating something out of nothing. So there in heaven, it is a celebration. There's gatherings. There are lectures and auditoriums, famous people from our past, other people you don't know. I mean, I say all cultures, too. I mean, people from every culture that has lived on Earth, you know, and we don't want to start talking about religion when we get to heaven, because there's only one truth, you know, that's logical. And on my show, I talk about logic, you know. If you don't believe in logic, well, then you're probably a younger soul, and logic will set you free, because one point of logic in regard to what I was saying is that you can't have all these different religions and all these different truths, each one claiming that what they believe in is the truth. And some religions have even fought and killed people because they didn't believe what they believe, you know, which is wrong. There's only one truth. And also, religion is a money-making business, and it has been for centuries, you know, used as a tool to control the masses, people with a desire for power, authority and money, of course. But nevertheless, I don't mean to knock the religions that exist today. I believe they are a stepping stone to where we need to go. To be a believer in God, be better. It's better than not being a believer. So, and there are a lot of non-believers out there, a lot of atheists and agnostics. So I don't knock people who believe in religion, but I'll just say beware, you know, because on that judgment day in the future, if you haven't achieved enough spiritual development and evolution, then you're going to regret. And, well, I mean, you're going to regret your life here on earth for not having known better, for not having done more. You're going to be filled with remorse, and more than likely then you'll return to a planet of a similar category of evolution in your next life because you didn't know better. So my goal and what I talk about in my show is to help people progress spiritually. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spirituality, where you need to increase your spirituality and your evolution to graduate, if you will, from this existence into the next existence, that spirit realm, where you do spend that time in heaven, where you can rejoice, get back to where you were before, remember everything, meet all these people, participate in those activities, eat from the tree of life, the delicious fruit, and have peace from the vegetables from the fields out there in heaven, because earth is just like heaven in a way. In a way, heaven is like the positive, and earth is like a Polaroid print. You remember what they were like, right? Where heaven, the sun, which is the spirit world, a world on fire, the fire of God. And you look through your spirit eye, with your spirit eyes, into that light, you know that the spirit is made of light energy and can exist in fire. But that fire is a very special fire. It's the fire of God. It's not like when you light a match. So the spirit is made of light energy, and logically, the spirit then can exist in fire, which is also light energy. You'll see. You'll find out. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that walk up to me when I get to that land, hopefully in the distant future, the spirit lands, heaven, and they're going to say, I listened to your show. I didn't agree with everything you said, but I do now. I understand. And I'll say, it's okay. It's cool. It's all good. You know, Buddha, who was a great spirit, said, and my goal, I think all of our goals is, if you might have heard this before, besides spiritual evolution and development, is also enlightenment. And I feel I am enlightened because I've learned from people. I've pieced my reality system one piece after another like a jigsaw puzzle. And I don't have all the answers, but I've got a lot of answers thanks to the people that I've learned from. So then, after you've been in heaven for a while, you're going to want to evaluate just what your last life was like and where you're going to reincarnate. Somewhere in our galaxy, or maybe somewhere in the universe? What kind of planets are out there that fit your evolutionary status, what you've achieved on this Earth? And so it goes. In our universe, where planets are categorized according to their evolution, and where you fit in all depends on how you live your life on these planets. The objective is to reach the highest level of evolution on a planet which is in the material universe, but just like heaven, almost like heaven, in a material realm, in a physical realm, if you know what I mean. I've talked about this on previous shows, one of my desires and my goals is to help us as a civilization. Maybe it's one of my missions that Creator gave me, Mother and Father God gave me before I came to Earth, and that is to help our present-day civilization and society to achieve contact with an extraterrestrial species, because that will be the next step in our evolution. I consider previous steps in our evolution to be thinking the world was flat, thinking that the universe revolved around our planet and that our planet was at the center of the universe until that was proven different, and also to make contact with an extraterrestrial species. Now, for all you people out there that maybe aren't the more older souls who are just content with everyday life, working a job, making money, raising your children, they just want the status quo, things to continue, to go out to restaurants, to spend lots of money on vacations, to buy a lot of material gifts for themselves and others, which you could still do if we made contact with an extraterrestrial species. But if that were to happen, it would change. And that's another thing people don't want to. And deep down inside, you knew this before, it would change us 100%. It would be a 180-degree, maybe a 360-degree turn in the way we live our lives, because all of a sudden, we would realize we're not alone. I'm not only realize that we're not alone in the universe. I mean, it would be boom, pow, bam, right in our faces. You know, there they are. They're in the sky. That's what they look like. Oh, my God. You know, like, wait a second. Give me about an hour to think about this, you know, and to recover from these feelings, or a rapid heartbeat, you know, difficulty breathing. Yeah, well, it's going to hit you, you know. Rapid heartbeat, difficulty breathing. When you see what these beings look like, and they're like 20, and they're about 20 times more intelligent than us. Hey, they had the capability of traveling around the universe in a pretty quick fashion, you know, with these machines that they've invented, this technology, which is safe to say probably hundreds of years, thousands, millions of years in advance of our own, because they've been in existence longer, because guess what? The creator of the universe can do anything. And you have to grasp the importance of what I just said. The creator can do anything. And that means creating life anywhere in the universe. Whether it was in the first solar system after the Big Bang, or in the present day solar system in an outward spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And there are so many solar systems and so many galaxies out there, you know. I'm not going to boggle your mind like some scientists do. There are 50 billion galaxies in the universe. You know, I've got all these degrees, and I say, this is what it is. I say approximately, Blake Ruby says there's approximately, God, help me out here, how many galaxies in the universe? Maybe 160,000 of them. But the universe is such an incredibly large place, you know, 16 billion light years in diameter. And so from one end of the universe to another, that's like 31 billion light years. I'm talking about billion, not million, not hundreds of thousands of light years, but billion. So if you wanted to look like, I mean, it describes it in this book here I'm going to read from just a little while. If you were to consider from the west coast of the United States to the east coast, being the size of the universe, then where you live right now, your next door neighbor probably would be Alpha Centauri, which is 4 light years away. Isn't that amazing? Well, so I was telling you, going back, this is what I do. I go back to things. When you have an hour to talk, you know, that's what you do. You jump around on subjects. So this guy that wrote this book was an editor on the LA Times Metro desk. And he retired after 25 years. And this guy is funny. He's a very gifted writer. And we contacted each other when I was living in Venezuela. and exchanged a few emails. So he had this experience where he was abducted, taken aboard this spaceship by this race of extraterrestrials who might be listening to my radio show at this time. And they are so, so intelligent, so very, extremely, amazingly intelligent beings, sentient beings that travel around the universe. And what they love to do is explore. And they charter these solar systems they come upon, you know. And amazingly, after, according to what he was told by them, they've been exploring the universe for hundreds of millions of years. And even still today, they're coming upon uncharted solar systems that they've never seen before. Isn't that amazing? Because, really, when you think about it, the universe is constantly expanding as I speak, as you exist, as we exist. The edges of infinite space are expanding, are being created. And new solar systems, new suns are forming as we speak. Isn't that amazing? And so then planets also are created with the suns, you know, the gases and dust, they swirl around and they coalesce and they form into chunks of rock and expand. And next thing you know, voila, you've got a planet with a sun. It's just like a planet, really, but probably created a little differently. And then there's a fire created in its core, a nuclear core, and it just permeates everything and next thing you know, a star is born. A sun is born. And so with our planet Earth, these beings called the Verdants, because their home planet is called Verdant, and they're one of the dominant species in the universe, the typical gray, maybe 5 feet tall, 5 feet, 3 inches tall, gray skin or tan skin, maybe with a tinge of green sometimes, some of them, they vary. Not all the same. Hey, exactly. And they have big dark eyes, kind of pointed ears, not much of a nose, but beautiful creations created by the supreme creator of the universe. And so they're very intelligent and very friendly and kind and have no intentions to harm us. That's what they do. And they have their technology, as I mentioned, is just fascinatingly evolved. And so they can do things that we could only dream about. I mean, we've done some pretty amazing things ourselves over the last 150 years or so with the Industrial Revolution. And all we're doing now with computers and cell phones, that kind of technology, it's amazing, but nothing compared to them. You know, have been in existence, like I said, millions of years longer than we have. And so, you agree that they're out there, right? And know also that there are people that don't want you to believe that because they pose a threat to our security, our national security. You know, you've seen a lot of negative movies about them where they come to kick human butt, you know, and so to speak, and they're firing their weapons at us, and we're fighting back, you know, War of the Worlds, Independence Day, which is a bunch of nonsense, fantasy violence geared towards the less intelligent part of the human society, you know, who are gullible and just eat everything that they're fed by Hollywood, who is out to make money, right? And all they want to do is show the special effects and forget about the truth that they're really out there. And if they were violent, we'd be long dead, you know. They wanted this planet that we live on is very beautiful, you know, absolute pool of the universe. And we've been mistreating it, polluting the environment, creating global warming. You know, that's reality, my friends. Regardless of what anyone says or believes, it's true. We've seen it. The evidence is, you know, polar ice caps melting, increased number of hurricanes, storms, and the intensity of them, droughts, and therefore more fires and more flooding. You know, that's evidence that we can't ignore, logically. And so these burdens, they come upon a uncharted solar system. They set up an observation post, and they find the life. Usually when a solar system is created, there is life somewhere. Maybe not as we know it, but and the species on that live on planets that are different than ours are indigenous to that atmosphere, that planet's atmosphere. And so they're going to look different than we are. And so I'm going to begin reading from the book, The Contact Has Begun. And I'm just going to pick up where he's in a meeting with these burdens. It's in this book, you know. He was the ambassador to share the information that they gave him to the world. So it's not like I'm, you know, opening up Pandora's box here or anything. There's a lot of people out there that have had contact with extraterrestrials. There's been a lot of UFO sightings. The evidence is overwhelming. Roswell really happened. The man that recovered that debris at Roswell, the major in the Air Force, he changed the story to say it was a weather balloon, but on his deathbed, he said that the Air Force forced him to change his story. Otherwise, they were going to retire him. So, yeah, I thought that's understandable. He would follow the money trail and lie on behalf of the Air Force. And they took all that debris that they recovered from Roswell and shipped it to Dayton Air Force Base. And also some alien bodies that were recovered. I think one was still alive, but later died in their care. And so it's logical, you know, logic that they exist. But in all fairness to the U.S. government and other governments around the world who have been keeping it kind of under lock and key, you know, not really wanted to tell the truth so they don't create panic. And who knows, maybe some of these species are a national security threat. But personally, I don't believe that. I mean, I know a lot about what's out there. Presently, like 50 to 60 species that we've had either in the past or are presently in contact with. Just watch a couple of videos on YouTube called Fast Walkers. Write that down. Fast Walkers or Unacknowledged. And I think you have to pay for Unacknowledged. Fast Walkers is for free. And that will convince you, I think, without a doubt, that they're out there. And there's a lot of people that are coming out who have had these top secret clearances in the military that say, yeah, it's true. You know, they were told not to talk about it. But guess what? You know, I wanted to go back to it. I was telling you about that major who died. He was on his deathbed, and he said, yeah, I just wanted to reemphasize that a man on his deathbed does not make stories up. You know, that's logical. So going back to the last thing I was saying, so that these people, airline pilots who have seen flying saucers, didn't want to talk about it before for fear of losing their jobs, because believe it or not, if they made a report, they saw a flying saucer, they reported it to their airlines, chances are they would be considered not suitable to maintain their employment. They would be fired because they told the truth, you know. So we live in a world that is wrestling, still struggling with finding out the truth, you know, believing in the truth, accepting the truth. And so I'm going to read to you from this book. He's there. He had a 3-day orientation indoctrination to what these extraterrestrials wanted him to share with humankind. And it's really an interesting read, called The Contact Has Begun by Philip Kraft, K-R-A-P-F. Kind of sounds like crap, but I don't say bad words too often. But no, there's enough on the end. In fact, I don't swear at all. My son will tell you, I don't swear at all. Even when I like hit my thumb with a hammer, I'll just say, bang! I mean, that's not a swear word, is it? It's damn. It's different than damn. Forgive me, God. I always say if I do, but I'll say it out of fun maybe with my wife, just to make her laugh, you know, and she laughs when I say a swear word. But then I'll say, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me, please, God. So let me read from this book. I love reading out loud because it's great for public speaking. You know, I gave a speech in my Toastmasters Club last Tuesday. It was a 19-minute speech. I practice reading out loud because guess what? If you want to become, like, if you want to get on television, and I've done a little research on this, so take it from me. It works. It's the truth. If you want to improve your public speaking skills, read out loud. Now, it's good to have your hands free when you read out loud, like I do right now. And you can buy these book stands where you can, it's always best to read from the book because when you start reading, if you're looking at a computer each day like I do, you know, I have a little laptop and I telework. And so when you're looking at a screen all day, you get that glare from the screen. But we need to get back to reading books. My son reads a lot of books. I read a lot of books in the past, but now I really don't find too many books that interest me. You know, I've learned so much about extraterrestrials, flying saucers, UFOs, near-death experiences, people have met God, Jesus, angels, so many different books. I mean, I could tell you about the tunnel, I could tell you about heaven, so much information about heaven. I've got it all down, Pat. And other books that are out there, just like, you know, it's like trying to, someone who's in the 12th grade or in college and giving them a book on Mary Had a Little Lamb or Sea Spot Run, you know, one of these little read-along books. That stuff, it's irrelevant to me. You know, what's more important, your spiritual evolution or just some stuff about, you know, fighting wars or, no disrespect to Army soldiers or, you know, military members, but, you know, you got to think about the future of mankind. Are we going to gravitate towards a more peaceful world? You know, the stuff that we read, it goes in our minds, and we need to be careful what we read, you know. Television's the same way, and I'm guilty, you know, because there's so much to choose from on television. I'll be surfing the channels, and oh, my God, there's so many violent movies, you know, fantasy violence, fantasy violence, fantasy violence. Oh, my God, you know, give me something good. Even then, I'll switch to TBN, you know, the Christian Broadcast Network, and they'll start rambling, you know, they'll be talking and praise God, which is good, good stuff. I like to hear people talk about God because you rarely hear it talked about on other channels, very rare, you know. And then they'll start going off on a tangent, and with all due respect to them, they think they know everything about all there is to know, which I can see that's not the case, you know. Give me somebody, someone that I can look up to. That's what I'm looking for, someone that can teach me something. Other stuff, I mean, I respect people for who they are as a human being, and I love them for that. I was watching the proceedings today with the Senate, you know, voting to acquit Mr. Trump. All the presentations by the House managers and the Trump defense lawyers, and I was like, Mitch McConnell at the end there, you know, he gave his speech. The first part of it, if he had been a House manager, if he'd had an opportunity to say something like he said at the beginning, it could have swayed the whole Senate. There could have been a lot more Republican senators voting to convict Mr. Trump if he had given that speech at the beginning. But he wanted to have it both ways. I heard CNN talking about the speech afterwards. He slammed Mr. Trump and then voted not to convict him. And his, however, you know, I was listening for minutes. Okay, when is the however coming? However, he was out of office, and, you know, the Constitution says we can't impeach a president who's not currently in power. And so CNN brought up a good point saying, well, he had the opportunity to take those the article of impeachment on the 15th of January before Mr. Biden was sworn in as the next president, and they could have done everything before the 20th. But no, he held on to them to it and decided not to do it until afterwards. Now it's the 13th of February. And so that was kind of a bogus argument. I like what he said. He brought up some good points. And what he said about Mr. Trump, that was more damning, more demeaning than any of the House managers, I thought. I was going like, wow, I can't believe he's saying that. How about you? Did you think that too? I can't believe Mitch McConnell saying that. When is this however coming, you know, the however's coming? So anyway, how am I doing on time? I've got 20 minutes left. I'm going to read from this book, going back to the book. And let me just finish what I was saying. So I love these people. They're great. You know, I could see that they're a fellow human being going through their evolutionary process. You know, they're very intelligent. They're growing each and every day just like us, right? So it's a slow process. We need to hang in there, you know, be patient with each other, be tolerant. You know, we can learn from each other. I still learn from other people, and they can learn from me too, you know. So love your fellow human being. Remember, pray for each other. That's the key to loving each other. Just like God said in the near-death experience by Lou Famoso, check it out on the internet. It's one of the most fascinating near-death experiences you'll ever read about. He had a face-to-face encounter with God, a being of light, a beautiful, glowing, indescribably beautiful being of light, about twice the size of an average man, that spoke to him, and he said these words, "Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man." So pray, P-R-E-Y. Man will prey on man, and women too, P-R-E-Y, until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. So if you remember that, all the things I've talked about on this show, if you can remember that going forward, read that experience, because it's true. This guy almost died in a car accident. You know, those car accidents do happen. Hopefully not to us, you know. But this guy, he almost died. He had a gaping head wound, and he had this near-death experience, and he met the Creator, this beautiful being of light, just radiating light, like light from within, just made of glorious light, a substance. And he said, "Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man." So it could have been a male and female being, you know. It could have been just the father aspect, or maybe the female aspect. No, but it wasn't the female aspect, because he said it sounded like it had a, wasn't a male or female voice, actually, he said, if I remember correctly. It was not powerful, not booming, but it was all-encompassing. That's what he said. And you've heard other people say, you know, when they've heard the Creator's voice, it sounded like running water, just powerful, but all-encompassing. This man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. And all these different meanings exploding in one's mind when you hear this, because the Creator is just so extremely intelligent, omniscient, you know. But anyway, I'm running out of time. I want to do my reading, because that's what I love to do. I love reading out loud. That's one of the ways I grow. And one of the benefits of reading out loud is that you can put your voice into the word. You can, by reading the words out loud, you can kind of, you can make your voice linked with the words on the book. And you can also increase your understanding of the words by speaking those words at the same time. You're also understanding them at the same time. And also you're improving your focus and your concentration. So that's why it's good for public speaking, because when you get up there in front of a lot of people, you know, like in the before and after COVID environment, and Creator, please help, if it could be in accordance with your will, help the virus to go away. Please. That's my prayer. Then when you get in front of people, in order to prevent your mind from going blank, reading out loud is one way to do that. So here goes. He's with the Verdants. Philip Kraft is. They're teaching about the future, mankind joining the intergalactic community. And it starts off in page 66 at the top. And they're telling him about humans on Earth and stopping war and only having peace in the universe, only having peace in outer space, so we don't take weapons of destruction into outer space. So one of the Verdants, who was the leader, said, We do not deal in cruelty or death, nor do we inflict pain, he said. But we also do not tolerate dangerous rogues who cannot or will not abide by the standards and rules of civilized society. He was speaking, of course, about the intergalactic community, because, as I've been told earlier, the Verdans do not interfere in the internal affairs of other species. Very interesting, that. You know, they don't hand it on a silver platter, so to speak. I think we should leave it at that, he said. I interpreted the latter statement not as a suggestion, but as a directive, so I exercised discretion and dropped the subject. In terms of native intelligence, humankind rates at about a 2, certainly no higher than a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. When compared with other species, when they are first brought into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, Robert continued. The Verdant's name was Robert. I was extremely disappointed with that assessment, and I suppose my face showed it. But that will improve, he said. It always does. Left alone, he said, the human species would require another 2 million years, according to the best estimates of the Verdant scientists, to achieve absolute intelligence. There was that phrase again. Absolute intelligence, I said. It was really a question. The point at which it becomes biologically impossible to become any more intelligent. There are limits to everything, Robert said. But again, he pointed out, the relatively low rating of a 2 or 3 on a scale of 1 to 10 is due to the immense diversity of the human species. Most other species have intelligence levels that do not deviate more than 1% from the most intelligent to the least intelligent individuals. Excuse me. I had to take a drink of water. For all practical purposes, except for the very slight variations, that means that every individual is of equal intelligence. If we compare just your most intelligent people, say the top 10%, which I would be included in, I hope, your species would rank at perhaps an 8 or a 9, Robert continued. But the sheer vast numbers of the less intelligent draw down the average considerably. Again, this is an anomaly that we had never experienced before. We previously had thought that it would be impossible to find such a wide difference among individuals in the same species. However, with the proper guidance provided by the available technology, man will not have to wait for 2 million years to achieve absolute intelligence. The process can be speeded up enormously so that a race of humans of superintelligence, can be created within no more than 2,000 or 3,000 years. In terms of physical appearance, humans are neither more attractive nor less attractive than an alien species. Humans simply are viewed as a species with unique characteristics, just as every other species brings to the planetary community its own unique physiology. Most of the space beings are what could be described as anthropoid in form, although with great variations. But despite these vast differences in appearance between the species that do evolve into space travelers, they have at least 2 physical features in common, I was told. One is the ability to grasp with enough dexterity to make tools. Turning the page. In humans, and these ETs themselves, that would be the fingers with the opposable thumb. From this amazing anatomical feature come the tools that lead to mining, manufacturing, agriculture, and dominance over fire. All of these things eventually lead to outer space. There are some pretty strange, at least from my perspective, creatures out there, based upon descriptions that I heard. For instance, not all of the grasping appendages are necessarily the human type. Some star travelers have dual prehensible organs. They're every bit as efficient as the human hand. Even the elephant, with its dexterous trunk, has the physical ability to perform simple grasping chores, although it lacks the intelligence to take full advantage of that faculty. The trunk does fall short, though, of the full range of refined movement that the human hand possesses. It can pick up a peanut, but it cannot operate a pair of pliers. Also, even if the trunk were as adroit as the human hand, the elephant's massive body itself presents an insurmountable barrier to the dexterity required to become builders of cities. In other words, the grasping hand is vital, but it is useless if the rest of the body is incompatible. That brings us to the second major feature that all star travelers share. The body must be capable of the mobility required to transcend its native environment. It's hard to imagine an elephant climbing a ladder into the business end of a space capsule. The elephant, in fact, is the only earth-land animal that cannot get all of its feet off the ground at one time. In the other cases, I was told, there are species, in other cases, I was told, there are species that have developed super intelligence through evolution, but their bodies are not compatible with that intelligence to allow them to make and use tools or to travel outside of their restricted environment. Vertebrates have discovered many creatures, including those on Earth, that cannot live outside of water. Because they are swimmers, they have not developed the physical ability to manipulate their environment in order to mine, to forge, to farm, to manufacture, or to weave clothing. Actually, familiarity with fire is totally out of the question. And yet, some of these creatures have great intelligence whereby they have spoken languages, understand mathematics, and form abstract thoughts. The Burdens have determined that certain Earth marine species, specifically whales and dolphins, will eventually arrive at that point if current evolutionary processes are not disturbed. But in their present form, even if they develop the intelligence, they will be restricted to the oceans and therefore excluded from the astral community. The body itself is a prison. Of course, that could change through some as yet unforeseen evolutionary mutation. As for reproduction, some species in the Intergalactic Federation give birth live young while others lay eggs. There is at least one species that produces several identical offspring during the adult's 100-year lifespan through an internal cloning mechanism. This species has no sex. The offspring then eternally clone offspring identical to themselves when they reach adulthood, which are identical to their parent and their parent before them. In effect, the population basically consists of one person in millions of bodies. This is as close to physical immortality as the Verdants have ever come across. Turning the page. Fortunately for this species, the evolution into a cloning organism did not occur until it had achieved a very high level of intelligence. Had this process occurred earlier in the evolutionary cycle, the species would not have made it to the stars. That stands to reason simply because a clone is an exact duplicate of its donor. There can be no improvement from one generation to the next. If it had started cloning itself earlier in its history, all progress would have stopped at that point. Stupid is as stupid does, so the saying goes. This is so fantastic, I blurted out at one point in a moment of unrestrained enthusiasm. I just can't imagine what life on Earth is going to be like in 100 years, 1,000 years. Well, it's certainly going to be different, the one called George said. Please, I said, tell me what it's going to be like. I know I won't be around to see it myself, but I have such a yearning to know, to understand. And then a strange thing happened. I don't know if it was from fatigue, from the long hours of absorbing information, or if the full impact of the experience finally took hold in my psyche, but I was overcome with emotion, and I felt that I was on the verge of weeping. I hung my head to conceal my misty eyes. Well, my friends, I have 1 minute. I will continue this reading next week. I enjoy reading it so much. Thank you for listening to my show. I wish you the best out there. And my prayer is that the Creator will bless you and protect you and guide you and help you in any way you need it, and keep you safe and well too. And Creator God, Mother and Father God, please help this virus to go away. Help us to deal with it. We need your help. We love you very much. Thank you for everything. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week.